Hello and welcome to the Summit Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. You can follow and stay connected by going to our website, www.thesummitchurch.ca.
Can you guys give Bishop Kyle Searcy a warm welcome to Edmonton, Alberta, as he comes and preaches, ministers to us this morning?
Wow. Now give Jesus a big hand of praise, would you?
There you go.
Rock it for the King.
Hey, hey.
Come on, give him a better hand than that.
Hallelujah.
Wow. You guys rock. Have your seats. Good to see you. Surprised you didn't know all of God's names. God's Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Sitkenu, Jehovah Rapha, and he's Jehovah Sneaky. He'll sneak one in on you sometime. So I was honored to get the call, man. Chris, I'm so proud of you. So proud of you, man. You guys broke me this morning. All that you've done in 10 years, 14 churches, lives all around the world touched and impacted. You're amazing. And as I said earlier, we love you with all of our heart, lungs, liver, kidney, spleen, toenails, kneecaps. I guess I'll stop using body parts now. Anybody else love them? Really, really love them? Like, for real love them? Yeah. They're smooth. One of the reasons I keep coming here is I'm believing God to give me the anointing for the beard. It just hadn't worked yet. No, I joke. There is a word from the Lord. Go to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Congratulations to this team. It's impossible to do what's been done here without great leadership. The leadership of Pastor Chris and Pastor Nikki, but also the leadership team that works along with them. So I'm so thankful for you guys, for your support, your heart, the way you love God, and the way you've supported this leadership team. You guys really have something amazing going on here. And I could say that from the vantage point of traveling all around the world. You know, there are a lot of churches that have altars, they have pulpits, they have preachers, they have music. They have choirs, but not all of them have God. You have presence. Jesus comes to church with you. Man, that is worth it all. It's worth it all. And you guys know how to honor him when he comes in and how to love on him. So don't ever take that for granted. It's revival, but it's not just revival. It's a person. It's the person of Christ who comes to visit you and love you. And it's so happy when you come together. I just feel the joy of the Lord. It's like, you know, God's like, hey, Summit's meeting again. Let's go. Literally, I'm not joking. But heaven rejoices when you guys come together and meet. Don't ever allow this familiarity where, you know, sometimes it's like, man, we sing too long in that church. Or we stand up too long. Or does it take all that? Don't get that out of your head, man. Get it out of your head. God loves it. And there's a great balance here. There is word. There's a family atmosphere. You don't find that a lot. Sometimes you'll find this extreme where it's all revival and all the families, you know, just jacked up. Or you'll find a real family church, but, you know, there's no room for God or the Holy Spirit. There's a great balance here of revival, a family atmosphere, solid sound teaching. I mean, come on, you're going to be learning how to get out of debt, how to invest, how to love families. And then you get in God's presence and get toasty, roasty, and just roll on the floor and love God and whatever. This is amazing what God's doing here. So let's again thank Jesus for all that he's doing and what he's pouring out in the Summit. It's really awesome. It's really, really awesome. It's really, really awesome. And Aaron, I have a debt of gratitude in my heart for you. You're an amazing servant. You and your husband are both. You guys do so much, and I hate to even just single somebody out, but I just feel that on the Lord's heart. He's saying to you, thank you. Thank you for all that you do and all you pour out. Thank you. Yeah. Open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40 if you have a King James Version, New King James Version. If you don't, they're going to have this scripture on the screen. We're going to do a lot of reading today. I'm going to read some and ask you to read some. The entire chapter of Isaiah chapter 40 we're going to read. And I do believe that there is a word from the Lord for you. You're going to be so glad you didn't stay at Bedside Baptist today. You're going to be glad you got up and came to church. So the Lord is going to speak to you about something. He really is. Let's pray together. Say, Father, do speak to my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, I yield myself to you. Use me, just a vessel, but you do the work. Have your way. Impact the hearts of your people. I yield to you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 1. I'm going to start reading. I'm going to ask you to join in a minute. They're going to put it on the screen. Comfort, yes. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended. Her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. Verse 3, let's read it together. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain shall be brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight. The rough places made smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. All flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Verse 6, for the voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and its loveliness is like a flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let me read 9 and 10. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem. You who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Say that with me. Behold your God. One more time. Behold your God. I'll read verse 10. Behold, the Lord shall come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He'll gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are young. Verse 12, let's read together. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Measured the heaven with a span. Calculated the dust of the earth in a measure. Weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. 13, who has directed the spirit of the Lord? Or as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel? And who instructed him? Go ahead. Verse 15. Oh, the nations are as a drop in a bucket and are counted as small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the islands as a very small thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor its beast sufficient to burn offering. All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted by him as less than nothing and worthless. To whom will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare to him? The workman molds an image. The goldsmith overspreads it with gold. And the silversmith casts silver in chains. Whoever is too impoverished for such a contribution chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeks for himself a skillful workman to prepare a carved image that will not totter. Verse 21. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. Scarcely shall they be planted. Shall they be sown? Scarcely shall their stock take root in the earth. Blow on them and they'll wither. Verse 25. Of whom then will you liken me? Or of whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might. Not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My just claim is passed over by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. Verse 30. Young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Say hoo-hoo to the word of God this morning. That is some good stuff. We're going to talk about how to have confidence in your future. How to have confidence in your future. You know, life is full of transition. Changes happen in life. I mean, you start out young, you go to high school, then you graduate from high school. Transition time. What do? Go to college? Do I get a job? Do I just work at a steel mill or whatever? Then you go to college. You graduate from college. If you decide to go to college, then it's transition. Then you get married. And the marriage is wonderful. Then you start pushing out a couple of kids. And life changes when you do that, especially when some of the kids that you push out one day look at you and say words you never thought you would ever hear any child say to a parent. Transition. Maybe you're at a place you're caring for an elderly relative. My wife and I just hit transition. My last son just moved out the house. He's in school down in Florida. So we just entered into the walking around the house naked stage. It is amazing. Oh, freedom! It's just... The summit's in a place of transition in a sense. You've been laying a foundation for 10 years, but this is almost the end of the foundation. The building, and if this is a foundation, what's the building going to look like? Whew! Eye is not seen, ear is not heard. God's not revealed all that he's going to do through the summit. But this is a transition season for you, more like a momentum season for you as a church. So we're going to talk about how to handle transition seasons. What are you doing transition? Isaiah perfectly laid out through a prophetic insight as to what was going to happen to Israel. So get the picture. Isaiah chapter 40 comes after Isaiah chapter 1 through 39. In Isaiah chapter 1 through 39, Isaiah's prophesying in Jerusalem, declaring what is already happening. He's talking about what's happening now, what's going on with Israel. But in chapter 40, he shifts. He's no longer prophesying from Jerusalem. He's prophesying, spiritually speaking, from Babylon. Because he knew 150 years later that Israel's going to be taken captive in Babylon. They're going to be there 70 years, and a time would come for them to be released from captivity. So he's prophesying 150 years in the future and declaring things over Israel. Isn't it good that God knows what's going to happen before it happens? So he's speaking to Israel, and he's saying, you're in for a transition season, but your future is going to be bright. Your future is going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. But he begins to share with them a number of principles that they had to embrace and that we have to embrace to have confidence in your future and to handle this momentum season properly. And the first thing, the number one principle, the one thing that you must learn when entering into a transition season is you must not carry the baggage from the old season into the new season. You can't let the baggage from yesterday come into today. He says to them in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1, comfort, comfort, yes, my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to them. What do you want to cry? That your warfare is ended, that your iniquity has been pardoned, and you've received double from the Lord's hand for all your sins. In other words, God was saying, that was then, this is now. That was that season, this is a new season. Do not carry the old baggage of the last season into the new season. Don't carry the mindset from the last season into the new season. Don't carry the limitations from the last season into the new season. Don't carry the baggage from the last season into the new season. When it comes new time, new season, it's good for a new mindset. Some of you don't just need a new hairdo, you need a new brain do. We need a new mindset that says, no, it's not going to be like this anymore. And at times we do that in relationships. You messed around with Steve. And Steve was a knucklehead. Steve was the Antichrist first cousin. Steve needed to be locked up. Steve stunk. You shouldn't even mess with Steve to begin with. Steve put a line on you, and you fell for the line, and you knew you should have messed with Steve. But Steve messed you up. Steve broke your heart. Now you're with John. John's a good guy. John's a godly guy. John loves God. John goes to the summit. John takes care of you, but you're treating John like John is Steve. No, that was then. This was now. That was Steve. This is John. Don't treat the guy you're with now like the knucklehead who messed you up when you were in high school. Sometime we need to press delete from the last season. This is not the same church you were a part of before. Those pastors weren't Chris and Nikki Mathis. They were somebody else. Don't treat this church like you're like, yeah, I know you were hurt in church and they did you wrong, but that doesn't mean you're going to be done wrong in this church. Stop singing a somebody done somebody wrong song. No. Don't just come in and sit in the back and fold your arms and watch everything and look at their socks and look at this and look at that. And sorry, no. Get involved because you're in a safe place. That was then and this is now. Do not bring the baggage of the old season into a new season. That's the children of Israel's problem. God delivered them from Egypt by a mighty hand. Took a man, 80-year-old man with a stick and brought down the greatest empire in the world. And nothing would have stopped them from the promised land, but their mind stopped them. Their thinking stopped them. They continued to see themselves as slaves, even though God said, no, you're freed. You're not captive anymore, you're free. And because their mind didn't shift, they could not make it into the promised land. Everybody say, my mind is going to shift. Do not bring the baggage from the old season into the new season. I know you went to school before and you did well in English and you did well when it came to basket weaving and you made an A in physical education and you thrived at lunch. But when it came to calculus, in organic chemistry, you started speaking in other tongues and you wanted to slap the professor and you dropped out of school. That was then and this is now. Go back to school, you'll make straight A's in the grace of God. You started a business before and the business didn't work and you said, business doesn't work. No, that was then. Who am I coming to talk to in Canada? I said, that was then and this is now. Do not bring the baggage from the old season into the new season. The second thing you have to do is realize that God will do whatever it takes to get you from where you are to where he wants you to be when it's time. You got to hear me. There's a descriptive term about Jesus in the Bible and God, and I love that term. It's called zeal. And you read sometime where it says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. I found out something, that everything in the kingdom works by season. It works by time. Everything in the world works by season and time. You can't just go plant tomatoes whenever you want to. You got to plant tomatoes in the right season. If you're trying to have children, you can't have children anytime you want to. There's a certain window of time where a lady can get pregnant. Now, ladies, you got to help me because I'm not like really educated on that from experience. But I believe there's a certain window of time you can get pregnant, right? You can't get pregnant 30 days in a month, right? Certain window of time. So if you're trying to have a baby, you shouldn't be up watching ESPN. Don't watch sports and hockey during that time. You should be sowing seed. You feel me? Okay. So, because you want a harvest. Say seasons. Seasons. Got to know seasons. And everything God does is by season. Sometimes it's promised land season. Sometimes it's wilderness season. Sometimes it's foundation season. Sometimes it's getting ready season. But when it's the right time, God will do anything it takes to get you where you need to be when the season is right. Here's what he says to them. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be what? Exalted. Every mountain and hill shall be what? Brought low. Every crooked place shall be what? Made straight. And every rough place will be made smooth. Now here's the picture. Here's what Isaiah is declaring. Israel's in Babylon. They've been slaves for 70 years. The decree comes to go back home. They have to walk back home through the desert. Some of the mountains in the desert are so high you can't cross over them. Some of the valleys are so low that you just can't go. And God said, no problem. I'll take the mountain and push it down so you can get where you need to get. I'll take the valley and pull it up. I'll make the crooked place straight. And there is no crooked place that's so crooked God can't straighten it when it's time. You got to hear me. I'm talking to somebody because you keep rehearsing what's not right and what hasn't happened. And God said, no, you don't understand. When it's time, I'll move every mountain out of the way. I'll move every obstacle out of the way. I'll do whatever it takes to get you where you need to be when the time comes right. You just heard Pastor Chris talk about the dream 10 years ago to plant in Edmonton, but the door was closed. Things were blocked. But when the time came, the door opened. And I've seen God do that again and again. I've got two daughters who I love. Beautiful little girls. When I got married to my wife, they were her natural children, not my natural children, but I adopted them as soon as we got married. But when she came to America, they were left in Africa. So as soon as we got married, I wanted them there the next day because I love kids and they're my babies. I wanted them there. And we tried to get them back to the United States from Africa and nothing would work. We sent her brother-in-law to the embassy again and again and again and again. And it did not work. Do you know why it didn't work? It wasn't time. God in his wisdom knew that my wife and I needed a little bit of time together by ourselves without the kids. Later on, the Lord revealed that to me. All we knew is the door was closed. And we would keep sending the brother-in-law to the embassy again and again, and he would be turned down. So we just said, man, maybe it's not going to work. And I remember one year, after about a year and a half of trying, my wife said, let's try again. And I'm like, I don't even know if I want to try again. You know what? Hope deferred can make the heart sick. And there's some of you here, you've tried. And you've gone again. And you've believed again. And you gave again. And you tried it again. And it didn't work. But I'm here to tell you, try again. Because when it's time, oh. My wife said, let's try again. I said, babe, I don't even know if I want to try again. Okay, let's do it. Called brother-in-law, said, go ahead back to the embassy. So he went to the embassy with the same passports he went time and time again, walked in the same door he walked in 8 or 9 times, sat down at the same desk in the same chair. He sat down 8 or 9 times and they said no. But when he looked up, the person who kept denying him was transferred and his schoolmate was sitting in that chair behind the desk, his best friend from growing up. He said, what? What are you doing? Said, give me the paperwork. Just start signing it. And my babies are there. Whenever the time comes, I said when the time comes. I said when the time comes. God will move every, see, even if the crooked place is inside of you, he'll straighten you up when the time comes. There is no hindrance that is such a hindrance that God can't move it out of the way when the right time comes. He will do whatever it takes because he is God. So we have to understand in a new season, in a new time, we have to realize that if God's on our side, here's how Paul said it. If God be for you, I need you to say that with attitude. You can't just give me no Canadian who. No, no, no. If God be for you, almost there. Get a little southern with it. Who can be against you? I'll go with that. But think about it. If God be for you, who? Who is the fool? Who is the devil? Who is the idiot? Even my own self can't get in the way of my own destiny. How is somebody else going to stop me? Huh? The God who foreknew you before you were born, who predestined you. The word predestined in Greek, pro, meaning pre, orizo, meaning horizon. The God who gave you a horizon before you ever met your mama, met your daddy. How in the world is somebody going to stop our destiny? We need to have confidence in our future and understand when the time comes, God will do whatever he will do. When I got married, I was so broke I couldn't pay attention. Man, I was broke. I mean, even my wife had a dream. She had a dream before we got married. In the dream, I came up to her and she and I said, ma'am, I said, I don't have any money if you'll still have me. And it was true. We dated in courtship 2.5 months before we got married. And every Wednesday and every Sunday after church, we'd go out on a date in Atlanta. We were in Atlanta, Georgia. And we dated this expensive restaurant called Subway. Subway, anybody ever heard of it? Subway. Sometimes you got to fake it till you make it, you know? And literally, I'm not joking, we would split a 6-inch. And we got married and we're growing up and everything was, you know, money was just a problem. And we tried, man, we just said, you know, we got to do something. So we started trying to get businesses together. So I had Kyle's Cars. It failed. I did vinyl siding. It didn't do well. I sold Melaleuca. I mean, anything we could do, we're just doing it. Nothing was working. You know why? Because it wasn't time. Then there came a day when in a day, God changed my financial picture. And it's a long story, but the Lord gave us a house and commanded a guy to build us a house debt-free. And we walked in that house. And one day we had $250,000 equity in one day. God changed our financial picture in a day. You know why? It was, who did I come to talk to in Edmonton? Who did I come to impact in it? Who did I come to tell it's time? It's a window. It's a season. It's a momentum moment. And God is about to show you who he is. The Bible is full of stories like that about it being time. And when it's time, it's just time. From Peter being in prison, he sends his angel and releases Peter from prison. And I just felt that because there's somebody who feels like you've been in prison 12 years. So the Lord just told me, 12 years you feel like you've been in prison. And for 12 years you have not had a breakthrough. And for 12 years it's been dark. And for 12 years everything you touch has not worked. And the word of the Lord comes to you and says, watch me send my angel. And watch me release you from that prison. And watch me change your trajectory in a moment, because I'm God. He can do that. So you got to realize, when it's time, don't start calculating and wondering and saying, well, Lord, you know I'm old now. You know, you called me when my waist was a size 32. Now it's 46. You know? No. Again, God can do whatever he's going to do anytime he says he's going to do it, regardless of the circumstances. And oftentimes he waits till it's too late so that you know it's God. Now, you didn't hear me. Come on. Think about it with me. Why did God tell Abraham 25 years early that he was going to have a son? Why? Wouldn't it have been okay if he just told him the night before? Think about it. Why did he speak to Abraham when he was 75 and Sarah was about, I guess that would have been 60-something? He said, you're going to have a baby. And then he made him wait 25 years till Abraham was 100. Sarah was 90. The Bible says her womb was dead. You understand, her minnow had paused a long time ago. I mean, it was like not possible to have children. Nothing to fertilize the baby with. No eggs anywhere. And those eggs, you understand? Impossible. I love God. When it's time, he will do whatever he needs to do to get you where you need to go. And we don't need to calculate how it's going to happen and what's going to happen and how it's going to happen. I wish I was a fly on the wall, Pastor. That night that Abraham came out the field, 100 years old, and walked up in the tent and said, Sarah, come here, girl. Come here, baby. 190. And a miracle happened. Womb came back. Eggs came back. Fertilizing came back. But fast forward with me 10 months later, and a 90-year-old woman has maids all around her saying, push. 90 years old. Baby born. Baby sucking on 90-year-old. Can I get graphic with you? Come on. Don't tell me God can't bless you at your age. Don't tell me he can't move you into destiny. Who do we think he is? Who do we think he is? God doesn't know the limitations we think we know. He takes Moses, the 80-year-old man, brings him into the wilderness after bringing down the greatest empire in the world, gets mad with the children of Israel and said to Moses, Moses, I'm going to kill them all. And here's what he said. I'm going to raise up from you a great nation. I would have been like, God, did anybody tell you I was 80? Did you? Is anything too hard for God? The Bible says God is so big, he can restore years. I don't know why I'm stuck on this. Somebody needs to understand this. It's not too late. You're not too old. You have not messed up too much, I hear the Lord saying. You have not messed up so much that God can't use you. God can restore years. Joel chapter 2 said God will restore the years the cankerworm has eaten. I understand if you lose money, you get money back. I understand if you lose a car and you get a car back, but how do you get years back when you serve a God who's outside of time, a God who's eternal, a God who has no limitation in time? Let me tell you what that means mathematically. If this plane, this iPad represents all reality, time is one line on that plane, only one line. With us, all we can do is go forward in time. We can't go backwards. But if this is all reality and God is bigger than all reality, anytime God wants, he can intersect that timeline. Which means to God, your past is present. Yeah. And your future is present. Your future to God is right now, and your past to God is right now. Let me bring it. God can go back in your past, fix something up, and retroact it to your future if he needs to do that. Don't mess with my. It's not too late. I don't know who. It's not too late. Not too late. So God will do whatever he needs to do when the time comes to get you where you need to get. Can I get an amen? Amen. You didn't say like I said it. Give me an amen. Amen. That's more Canadian. Thank you. No, I joke, but I'm not joking about this third point. The third thing Isaiah teaches us is to embrace our humanity. This is huge. Wait a minute. What does that have to do with confidence in your future? Moving into a new place. Yes, embrace your humanity. Because here's what he says, verse 6. The voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? Cry this. Now, if God's giving them good news, and if it's time to go from one season to another, and he's telling them, I'll take every mountain and move it, I'll take every valley and lift it, I'll do all of that. Then he says, now I want you to cry. Okay, what do you want me to cry? Here's what I want you to cry. All flesh is grass. Huh? Uh-huh. All flesh is grass, and its loveliness, the best flesh can do, is like a flower of the field. Now, flowers are beautiful. They're just fragile. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. Grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord stands forever. In transition season, seasons like this, you have to embrace your humanity. You have to embrace your humanity. What do I mean? The Bible says, cry out. Well, what is this all about? Well, Israel, you were in Babylon because you messed up. You were in Babylon because you sinned. You were in Babylon because you did wrong. That season is over. It's a new season. But here's what I need you to do in the future. I need you to embrace your humanity. I need you to understand that all flesh is grass. I need you to understand that all God has to choose from is broken humanity. I want you to understand that you probably made a few mistakes in the past, and you may make a few mistakes in the future. Here's the word. So, everybody makes mistakes. Everybody learns through mistakes. Everybody fails at some point. Everybody does something dumb. Is there anybody here that has never as dumbest as anything as dumbest? Anybody? Everyone has done dumb. Can I see the hands of those who have done dumb? I've done dumb. If you've really done dumb, give me two hands. Here's what God's saying. If you want to have confidence in your future, don't think your future depends only on you. Embrace your humanity. Embrace the fact that all flesh is grass. Like Pastor Chris said, I just got a doctor's degree. I did. I'm Dr. Grass. You may be PhD grass. You may be rich man grass. You may be skinny woman grass. You may be beautiful woman grass. But everyone's grass. In other words, there's a, see, one of the enemy's tactics is to try to exploit our humanity so that we don't rise up in confidence and do what God's called us to do. I need you to hear this. It's one of the main tactics of the Jezebel spirit, to cause our humanity to be exploited. That's why the Bible says, sometime agree with your adversary quickly. One of the tactics of the enemy is a spirit of accusation. So he accuses us to God. He goes to God and says, look what they're doing down there. But he also accuses God to us. He speaks in our own mind and he accuses us to us. He's full of accusation. So he's constantly telling us why we can't do something. Why we're not qualified to do something. Why we're not good enough to be something. Why we're not great enough to do something. He's constantly doing that. And sometimes we need to just agree with our adversary. When he comes and says, you're not good enough, say, yeah, I know. Ain't it a shame? But I'm going to do it anyway, fool. I'm going to do it anyway. Because it's not about me. Literally. So when the enemy tries to exploit humanity, I've got a church member. Church member, I made him an elder. And I didn't know when I made him an elder, he had a pornography problem. I had no idea. He was living in my house. And we had, at one point, we had 13 people living in a house, four bedrooms, 2,000-something square foot house, 13 people. That was a whole lot of love going on. And One of the computers in the house found porn on it. And I thought it was one of the younger guys. I didn't know it was this dude who I made an elder. So guys in my church, elder, he's over prayer and he's an elder. All right, so he's doing both of those. But at night when he finishes elding and praying, he goes on a computer and he does porn on a computer. And he did it for years. Didn't even know it. It was an 18-year bondage. 18-year bondage. And, you know, things started happening and things started kind of blowing up. And one day he just got tired of it. So he finished doing porn. And the devil came and said, look what you just did, and started doing the guilt trip. And he said, nope, I didn't do anything. Yeah, you did. Nope, I didn't do anything. Just ask God to forgive me. He gave me. It's gone. I didn't do anything. And he shifted his thinking to the point he stopped letting the devil beat him up. And that day he got free from a porn addiction. 18-year porn addiction. He got free that day. That day he got free. Do you know that what you resist persists? If this touching this table is sin, the worst thing I could do is just say, I'm not going to touch this table. I am not going to touch this table. Brabakashe baby. I am not going to touch this table. You know what you're doing? You're keeping the table alive in your mind. So what you resist persists. Sometime you need to just embrace your humanity and say, I was jacked up when God called me. I was a mess when he saved me. Do we think that God is so unwise that he didn't calculate who we are before we got saved? Before he called us, before he asked us to do what he's going to do? He's so calculated. He knows you way better than you know yourself. He knows you better than your mama knows you and loves you more than she loves you. He's calculated all of that. So we need to stop allowing the enemy to mess with our humanity. And we just embrace our humanity and say, I'm going into my future. I'm probably going to mess up somewhere, but it's going to be all right because God's going to fix up what I mess up. And God might not let me mess up. He may let me mess up, but it's going to be okay because all flesh is grass. And when God called me, I was grass. And when he finishes with me, I'm still going to be grass. Now, it's value. We're valued by God. But the truth is, it's not because of us. It's really because of him. So you know, and you know, thinking about that, say, brother, that's not encouraging. Did you come all the way from Montgomery to tell us we're grass? Yes. But I have more. Because what do you do with your future? Because if all we have to think about our future is what we see when we look in the mirror, maybe not a lot of courage. But God said, just embrace it. You're grass. You're human. There's a weakness with humanity. I called you. So I said, what do we do? I'll tell you what to do. He said in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9, would you put that on the screen in hieroglyphics, please? Put it up. When it's there, say amen. O Zion, O Summit, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say to the cities of Edmonton, of Judah, of the Summit, what? Behold, say it again. Say it in French. Listen. Listen to the contrast. How to have confidence in your future? Embrace your humanity. Get rid of the baggage of the past. Understand God will do whatever it takes to take you to the next season. Embrace your humanity, but then what do you do when you look at yourself? You know what you do? You behold your God. You look at your God. You cast your eyes on him. You stare at him. You say, my future's going to be okay, not because of this grass, because of the one who loves this grass. You behold your God. You look at the God who created all things. And in case we don't know who he is, in the next couple of verses, God begins to release his swag. You want to see some God swag? No, here's what he said. In case that's not comforting enough to you, let me tell you about God, is what Isaiah is saying. By the way, he holds the waters in the hollow of his hand. There are 333 million cubic miles of water on the earth. That's just the earth. 333 million cubic miles. And if we take the word of God literally, God's so big, all of that fits in the palm of his hand. Want a drink? Think about it. The Bible says he measures the heavens with a span. Oh, if you're not shouting right now, that's because you don't have any idea what a span is. I didn't say a spam, I said a span. Do y'all have spam in Edmonton? Spam is everywhere. It's in Africa, it's everywhere. Oh, man, my future rests in the hands of somebody who holds the water in the hollow of his hands, who measures the heavens with a span. Now, when we talk about the heavens, just our Milky Way, our universe that we live in, is 100 million light years in diameter. Light years. Light travels 186,000 miles per second. Say one. Say it again. Say one. In that 1 second, light went, listen, 186,000 miles in 1 second. That is fast. What is a light year? You know what a light year is? The distance light travels in 1 year. Going 186,000 miles per second. Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? 186,000 miles per second. How long it takes light to go that fast in 1 year is one light year. The observable universe that we have right now, our Milky Way, is 100 million light years in diameter, which means if you take light, put it on this side, it's going to take 100 million years to get to the other side, going 186,000 miles per second. That's just our Milky Way. That's not all the other galaxies they found out there that are not ours. God said, oh, you think that's big? God says, when I get ready to measure it, I measure it with a span. You know what a span is? The distance between your thumb and your finger. God said it fits right there in my economy. Now, you put that next to your need to be healed and see if he can't heal you. Huh? Come on. Is your child too wayward that this God can't turn your child around? Is your life so jacked up that this God can't put it back together? Is your mind in such a mess that this God can't turn it back around? Isaiah said, listen, behold your God. Yes, acknowledge that you're weak, you're human, but behold your God. He measures the heavens with a span. And then it says he calculates the dust of the earth. He calculates. He counts the dust of the earth. Have you never dusted in your house? He knows how many particles of dust are on the earth. Come on. Think with me about the capacity of this God. He calculates dust. I'm serious. That's what the book says. He weighs the mountains and hills on a scale. The nations are like a drop in a bucket with him. And I love this imagery. He sits on the circle of the earth is what it says. Just see him chilling on a circle of the earth. And all the inhabitants of the earth are like grasshoppers. I fly planes, and every now and then I'm up there, and everything looks so small on the ground when you're up there. The perspective is different. He sits on the circle of the earth. And I love this phrase. It says, if you want to know him, he stretched out the heavens like a curtain. You know when you wake up in the morning and open the curtains? God said, that's what I did with the universe. That's my daddy. It's my daddy. It's my papa. That's the one who talks to me in the morning. That's the one who tells me where my keys are when they're lost. That's the one that likes my hairstyle. I don't know, man. I'm just loving him. No, he likes me. He likes hanging with me. This God. I'll never forget years ago, I was flying to Atlanta. And I broke through a deck of clouds, 5,000 feet. It was early in the morning. The air was like glass. It was one of those cool mornings. I broke off 5,000 feet, leveled off 7,000 feet, leaned the seat back, took off my seatbelt, sat on the autopilot, sat back. Sun was just rising. It was one of those moments that's just, And I'm sitting back like, God, this is good. Jesus came in the airplane. I'm not kidding. Right there, I was by myself. Right there in that seat, Jesus came into that airplane. I didn't see it with my eyes, but he was there. Presence of God filled the place, and he's sitting right there. And I sat up, and I thought, man, this is, maybe he's going to speak to me. He's going to give me a deep revelation. He's going to share something. And I prepared myself. Several minutes, several seconds, whatever went by, and he said nothing. Opened my eyes, can't see anything, but he's there. He's there. I said, yes, sir, yes. You know what he said? He said nothing. He said, you were enjoying a moment. I just wanted to come and enjoy it with you. I said, no, no, no. How possible? I mean, think about this God who holds the water in the hollow of his hand, measures the heaven with a span, calculates dust, will come to see about you when you want to see him. Whenever you open your mouth and say, Father, he's right there to answer your prayers. Never leave you, never forsake you. It's not a night you sleep that angels don't guard you at the foot of your bed. It's not a car you get in that angels are not in there with you, even when you're speeding. Yes, even when you're speeding. That's the God that we're talking about here. And then I love this one. It talks about the host of heaven. The stars. Whenever the Bible talks about hosts, it's speaking of angels or stars. And it says, all the host of heaven, every one of them are there. And here's what it says. He forgets none of them, and he knows them all by name. Scientists tell us there's 100 billion trillion stars in the observable universe. 100 billion trillion stars in the observable universe. And he knows every one of them by name. And if he doesn't forget the name of the stars, how in the snot is he going to forget about us? No, come on, think about it. How will he forget? Stars never worship him. They never give money to causes. They never honor him. They never lift up their hands. They don't have a human spirit. They're not made in his image. And if he doesn't forget a star, how will he ever forget you and I? He can never do it, man. He can never do it. He can never do it. Well, if I had Nikki's voice, I'd break out into, our God is an awesome God. He reigns. No, you don't want that noise, sweetheart. I'll ruin the message. Do you love him? It's amazing. Isaiah said, all flesh is grass. There's a weakness about us. There's a frailty about us. How are we going to have confidence in our future? Behold your God. Check him out. Look at him. He doesn't even let a sparrow fall to the ground without his aid. The birds eat because he's good. How much more will he feed us, oh, thee of little faith, the word would say. Oh, my future's going to be lovely, man. So in Isaiah 40, 27, he asked a question, and Isaiah asked a parenthetical question. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by God? After reading my resume, do you think I can actually forget you? Why do you even charge me with such injustice, he says. It's like the poem Footprints, when the guy thought God had left him during his life, and he said, no. When you see one set of footprints, I was carrying you. I can never leave you, never forsake you. He's closer than we ever think he is. So the last thing Isaiah bids us to do is to latch on to him. Are you ready for this? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. I love these parenthetical questions. Have you not known? Have you not heard? It's almost like you're supposed to know this. Haven't you heard? It's like juicy gossip. Have you heard? Girl, have you heard? Bruh, have you heard? Have you not known? Have you not heard? That the everlasting, eternal God, the what? The Lord, the creator of the what? Ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. Neither faints nor is weary. You mean to tell me he never gets weary? Never. Never faints? Never. His understanding is unsearchable. Verse 29, he gives power to the weak, Anybody ever been weak before? To those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That word wait, it's a very interesting Hebrew word. It's a word kavah. Just say that with me. Say kavah. It's spelled Q-W-H for those of you Greek Hebrew scholars who would go look for it. Kavah. It's an interesting word. It doesn't mean wait like sitting at a bus stop and waiting on a bus to come by. It doesn't mean wait like waiting on your season to change. It's an active verb. It's a verb. And it literally means to braid. To braid. To wrap yourself around. Perhaps you might understand. I hope you will. Because in where I live, there are a lot of young ladies who have hair that is not as desirable as other hair. Translation, it's nappy. Hard to work with, hard to do anything with. And every now and then they just get tired of fooling with it, so they go to the hair store and they buy some nice Brazilian hair. And they give it to the lady at the beauty shop and they say, give me micro braids. And they sit down and the lady takes the store-bought hair, the glorious hair, the packaged hair, the expensive hair, and starts braiding it with their unusual hair, Brillo hair, just whatever. And then by the time she finishes and the young lady stands up, she's walking around and she's just moving her head all around like this because she has all this glory. And by the time we look at her hair, we can't tell where her hair stops and the Brazilian hair starts because she braided them together. So Brazilian strength is now her strength. Brazilian glory is now her glory. And God is saying, those that kivah, those that wrap themselves around God, he never gets weary. Those that borrow his strength. Those that don't focus just on their humanity. Borrow his strength. Those that wrap themselves around him. Those that live for him shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings. Not like buzzards. Not like chickens. Not like hummingbirds. Like eagles. They shall run. It's a picture of what we look like when we kivah. You could be a buzzard and you kivah, you become an eagle. I'm speaking my wife's language. Do you understand? When you kivah, when you wrap yourself around him, the strength he has comes into him. See, sometimes it's really not who you are. You may feel like a zero. And I say that's okay. Because if you take zero and put it next to one, you get 10. It's not who you are, it's who you're with. You say, whoa, buddy. I feel so messed up, I feel like 3 zeros. I say, good. Because take 3 zeros and put it next to one, you get 1,000. You say, I'm so messed up, bud. I'm 6 zeros. I say, good, man. Because you take 6 zeros, put it next to one, you get 1,000,000. It's about the one. It's not about the zero. It's about the one who is, sir. It's about the one who is. It's about the one who is. And as you wrap yourself around him, as you align with him, as you become his, you will mount up with wings like eagles. You will run and finish the call of God on your life without being weary. And you will walk and you will not faint. That is a promise from the word of God. All you got to do is kivah. Set your mind on him. Behold your God. How do you have confidence in your future? I have no idea what this government's going to do. I have no idea what's going to happen after the election. I don't know if my company's going to still be in business 5 years from now. I don't know what's going to happen with the healthcare system. I don't know anything, but I do know one thing. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm going to kivah. I'm going to wrap myself around him. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to do what he called me to do. And as I do that, we'll mount up with wings like eagles. And we will run and not be weary, walk and not faint. You have a destiny, Summit. You're going to plant 300 churches in Canada. You're going to do it. You're going to release a sound over this nation from coast to coast. It's not just Edmonton. I don't know my geography in Canada real well. Toronto, other side, around, up in them places, all around. You're going all over. You're going there. You're going to do it. And all you got to do is kivah. And those of you who are part of this movement, I felt you this morning. I felt you. Preparing this, I felt you. There are going to be some people here that need to know. All you have to do is kivah. Just wrap yourself around him. Stop beating yourself up. Stop looking at what's impossible. Wrap your mind around him, and you will get to your place of destiny. Let me show you a picture of where you're going. Because before you were born, God had a destination for you. There's something you're to do before you leave this earth. And I'm here to tell you, you're going to finish it. You're going to do it. It doesn't matter what it looks like now, you're going to do it. And as we mount up with wings like eagles, I'm going to show you your future by showing you this eagle. Put that video up, if you will. Watch the screens. Let me show you where you're going. So it's an eagle in Dubai who was released from the tallest building in Dubai. And he took off, just like you took off. You got born again. You started a business. You started a marriage. You did what you thought was right. Done all you can. Sometimes, man, it just seems like we're just flying around. Is there a destination? Is there a purpose? Why does it seem like my life is just going around in circles? Why does it seem like everybody else down below me is doing well, but I'm just searching and looking? Relationships not optimal. My money is funny. My honey acting funny. Like I'm just flying around. I'm looking for something, but where is it? When will I see my future, my destiny, my purpose? I know I'm here for a reason. I know I'm not here to just fly around aimlessly. I know that there's something God has for me. Will I ever get to that destination? Oh yeah, I'm here to tell you, you can have confidence in your future. Because in the right time, God will begin to give you vision. And you'll begin to see what was already there. And it'll come into focus. And when the time is right, you will zero in on that which God has in store for you. And you will get to your destination. You will arrive at your place. You will mount up with wings like an eagle. You will run and not be weary. You will walk and not faint. I came to tell you, Summit, it's going to be all right. You're going to get there. God's for you. God is with you. And it's going to be all right. Stand up and give the Lord a mighty, mighty, radical Summit praise. Hey! Jesus! Jesus! Yes! Join hands with your neighbor, if you will. We're going to pray one for another. God's going to restore hope. God's going to put wind back in your sail. God's going to begin to heal hearts. Pray for your neighbor. Pray in the spirit, if you will. Pray in tongues, if you have that ability. Pray for the person whose hand you're holding to the right and to the left. That the Lord would do a supernatural work in their life and in their heart. Pray for them. Pray. Come on, lift your voice. God's, you're praying for the person next to you, to the left and to the right. You're praying that Ya mare mano parande le boshimanda. Le prande le bako shama ati le benda. Le brande le barri mota ba le mashi kreba. Uribana mahandi le besh mahandi lorima. Oremanda bario moshimaya. I feel it happening. God, heal hearts. Restore hope. Restore hope. Restore hope. Remanda brashi me koromaninda bashin kreba da. I feel new strength coming into some of you. I hear somebody asking the Lord, Lord, can I start again? God said, yes, you can begin again. Keep praying. God said, yes, you can begin again. You can begin again. Something's happening here, my friends. Something's happening. Something's happening. Something's happening. There's hope that's being restored. New beginnings are being released. We're going to stay here for just a moment. Keep praying. Angels of God are active right now, restoring hope. We rebuke the spirit of fear. Fear over your future. Fear from past failures. We rebuke the spirit of fear. We cancel the spirit of fear. In the name of Jesus, not in my name, but in that name, I rebuke fear off your mind. I rebuke fear off your life. I rebuke fear in the name of Jesus. There's witchcraft-induced fear that some have been experiencing. We stand against it now in the name of Jesus. We break it. We break it by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You're going to dream again. You're going to see again. You're going to get to that destination. You're going to arrive at that final place. You're going to make it to where God wants you to make it. God's birthing Shabbat. God's birthing new vision in you. Some of you, I feel like you're feeling some weights lift off of you. A couple of you, you even feel like belching or burping or releasing air. There's a deliverance that's happening for some of you. God's just removing things off of you. Stay here for a minute. Keep praying. Just keep praying. Keep praying. Rebe. Hababani. Glory. Just keep praying. Just keep praying. Let the Lord have his way. Father, we declare the breaker anointing is upon it. Nothing will stand in the way of what you're going to do in the summit. Nothing will stand in the way of what you're going to do in the lives of everyone here. Nothing will stand in the way of what you're going to do in my life. You are forming something. You are shaping something. Fix my eyes on the prize that is Jesus Christ. Keep praying. Just a few more minutes. It is well. It is well. It is well. It is well. Just keep praying. Just keep praying. Keep praying. Just keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. Just keep praying. Just keep praying. Keep praying. You are. You are. Beauty, beauty, beautiful. Glory, glory, glorious. You are. You are.
Just keep praying. Hope come alive. Hope come alive.